Bible says this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And when you and I think about the cross of Jesus, one of the things I do is want to often move past the cross and get to Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord, as fast as possible, because Jesus is our loved one and we don't want to see him suffering or think of him in that way. I was talking to somebody before the service, and they were remembering a loved one and some particular event in their life that was special. But whenever one of our loved ones, a dearest loved one, passes on, we certainly do remember the day that they passed on. If you would think of that, you probably know the day. Some of your dearest loved ones have passed on. We remember the date, and we remember the circumstances around that. We look for God's presence there. And also, above all, we remember the person. And we thank God for their lives. And so tonight we remember Jesus and his great love for us and his work of sacrifice on the cross. He goes to the cross to give the forgiveness of sins. It was God's plan from the foundation of the world. And so when I think of the cross, I often want to, boy, could we comfort Jesus? Could one of us be the one to offer him something to drink or to have him be finished with his work as soon as possible? But at the cross, he says to us, I comfort you. I love you. And I forgive you. And so it's very necessary that we meet Jesus at the cross because he loves us and God's love for us is demonstrated there. The cross is a place of conversion. That's where God gets to our hearts. If anybody's not at peace with God, they could be at peace with God through putting their faith in God's Son and what he did for us at the cross. So it's a great work of salvation that God accomplished there. And at the cross, it can be a place of renewal and revival for the believer. As Paul was thinking about believers in that first century world, he said, "You know, I decide to know nothing except Christ and him crucified." He knew that as Christians, if we would look to the cross and look to Christ, our hearts would be in the right place with God. And so there's great health and help at the cross. There's conversions at the cross. And each gathering, hopefully there's a conversion in some manner to God. Somebody going from death to life, a believer going from being away from God to towards God. We know that first Good Friday, there were at least two conversions that day. And the first was possibly the Roman soldier who helped to kill Jesus. He was there to guard what was going on, to make sure that the murder was carried out. And he was a tough guy. He had done that many times probably in his life. And he had been hardened by life's trials and difficulties. And then sometimes we could identify with him because in order to get through life, we feel we have to be tough too. We have to find a strength in ourselves or something like that. But that never gives us the real strength and peace we're looking for. And so that hardened Roman soldier looked at Jesus dying and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." He was converted, gave his heart to Christ and surrendered to him. And you, this evening, we could pray that same prayer. Surely Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Savior. And that would be a great confession of faith. So that was one conversion at the cross. Another conversion at the cross was the dying thief. The thief was a guilty, angry man. And you and I should be able to identify with him. We have a lot in common with the dying thief. Without Christ, you and I have real guilt before God. We do stand condemned already, as the Bible says, without the Savior coming and helping us. All we like sheep have gone astray, the prophet Isaiah tells us. And often when we sense that real guilt before God, our first attempt is to bring our obedience to God and attempt to have peace with God based on what we've done. And that record of our obedience is very partial and very, very pitiful when compared to Christ and his record of obedience. And the Bible lets us know that if peace with God or if righteousness could be attained by what we do, then Christ really died for nothing. But he died for helpless sinners. And that's what you and I are without Christ. So he came to offer us what we didn't have on our own. And John the Apostle wrote to Christians to remind us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Christ gave his life so that we would not sin and we would be forgiven. And two truths that we often run away from when we look at the cross is God is holy and you and I have a very devastating sin problem. And those two truths meet at the cross. And they meet in the second conversion of the dying thief. There he was. He had a devastating sin problem, and God was very holy, right in his presence. The thief was a guilty man, and the thief also was an angry man. In Matthew's gospel, the Bible tells us that both thieves hurled insults at Christ. Both of the thieves did that. And really, every time you and I sin, we insult God and Christ as Lord. That's the one we offend the most. The Bible says a man's own way and a man's own folly ruins his life, but his heart rails against the Lord. And how often we do that by not confessing our sin, by rebelling against God. There's a real rage to every sin that we commit. And that rage simply says to God, you can't tell me what to do. God, you can't tell me how to run my life. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's a great insult to Christ. That thief, even the one who was going to turn to Christ, he did that. He had a heart like that. And Jesus prays for those who are killing him. He prays for us. He prayed for the dying thieves. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And towards the end of the last moments of the thief's life, he has a change of heart. He recognizes who Christ is. All his own pain and difficulty and guilt and anger are not the issue anymore. He looks at Christ and he starts to pray. And he says to his other thief, you know, you and I are getting the just punishments for what we've done. And that's the first step of health that he's recognizing in his own soul to God. But he, in reference to Jesus, he says this, this man has done nothing wrong. Boy, that's a great honor to Christ at that point. What a testimony. It's like the thief saying, he's light and he's not darkness. He's life and he's not death. He's the king. He's the true king. And so he turns to Jesus and prays, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, you're the king of all and I surrender to you. That's what's really going on in his heart. And Jesus tells the thief, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. So the Savior dies and a thief goes to paradise that Good Friday. And the Lord takes him there. Mercy and grace is given when everybody thought it was too late. Do you ever feel like it's too late for you? Too late to live a life close to Jesus? Perhaps you've gotten the pattern that you've learned that's kind of a rut. It's not real close to the Lord. Not real thankful to him. And you think, well, will it ever be different? Is it too late for me? Maybe you've been barely believing in Christ, mostly with your head. Mostly because it's become a peer thing for you and not something to the heart. Maybe you're following the Lord at a great distance. Is it too late for you? There's a poem written that's to express what happened to the thief. And It's written supposedly by a man who died in an accident riding a horse. He rides the horse trips and falls on the man, and the man dies. And the man in heaven supposedly gives a praise to God in a poem. And the poem reads like this: "Between the horse and the ground, mercy I asked for, mercy I found." It was that intervention of God in just that short amount of time. My life's going to be over in a second. Finished. Mercy I asked for, mercy I found. Jesus and the thief would say, it's never too late to turn to Christ. Never too late to surrender to Him. As long as you still have breath, the invitation still stands. And you could tell Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." A professor at Duke Divinity School went to a funeral. He was a very well-learned person. And he went to a funeral way back in a country setting, far from the city, and way back in the woods. And the preacher preached a sermon at that funeral, and he preached it in front of the casket. And the deceased person's name was Joe. And he told the preacher told everybody, it's too late for Joe. Joe could have expressed a lot of love to people in a greater way, like all of us would want to. But it's too late for Joe. But it's not too late for you. The preacher went on to say, it's too late for Joe in terms of worshiping the Lord with the life on earth God had given him. It's too late for him. But it's not too late for you. You can still do that. You're alive. And the preacher went on. Joe could have surrendered his life to Christ years ago. And he could have had years of faithful service to God. Difficult, but faithful. And knowing the sweetness of God. But it's too late for Joe. But it's not too late for you, the preacher said. And the professor from the divinity school left with his wife, and they were going home. And he said, the professor said, you know, I really didn't like that funeral at all. It wasn't very comforting to the family. It was kind of offensive. And it really bothered me. And I don't think it was appropriate. And his wife said, you know, a lot of things about the funeral bothered me also. And she said, but the thing that bothered me the most was it was true. And it's really true. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for me. It wasn't too late for the dying thief to surrender to Christ. Say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says back to us, I tell you the truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. What a gift from God that He would give us. The great love of Christ gives us the gift. Our simple faith in Christ helps us receive the gift. The power of the cross and the shed blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the Spirit of Jesus helps us even experience the gift of eternal life this side of heaven. Dear worshiper of God, could you and I be like the dying thief and the Roman soldier and put our trust in Christ? There's life with Him, and He's here to minister to us as we meet with Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for showing your faithful love to us at the cross in such a courageous, costly way. And we still, Lord, even though we understand that you were the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, who takes away the sin of the world, and Lord, you were a Savior who went willingly on a mission to do your work, we still are amazed that you would do that for sinners. And so we pray that we would know the great love of Christ, that you would die in our place on that Good Friday. Thank you that you are a living Savior. And we could remember every day what you did for us. We can live in a healthy manner in the shadow of the cross. And take strength from your love and sacrifice to know your forgiveness and righteousness that you would give us as a gift. Might we rejoice in you, dear Jesus, and what you did for us. Continue to prepare our hearts for communion time. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to remember the last words of Jesus and think of his love for us as we do that. And I'll put the candles out as we think of what he said. You know, half of what he said was a prayer to the Father, a prayer for strength, and sometimes it was intercessory prayer for you and I. He did address his mother Mary and another follower, John, and wanted to make sure John was going to take care of Mary. And that's a comfort to all who have lost loved ones, to know that Jesus will send somebody in your life to sustain you in the midst of losing your loved one. The Lord thought of that at the cross for Mary. But hear what Jesus said and prayed, and then in darkness for just a bit, could you give thanks to Jesus for the cross? Give him thanks for his love for you. Tell him everything he means to you. And surrender to him in a way to honor him this Good Friday. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said, woman, here is your son. Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said, I thirst. He bowed his head and said, it is finished. He prayed. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Let's share in a time of silent prayer. We continue to worship. We just celebrate the Lord's love for us. And we say, risen Savior, we take your cross, and its shadow is our abiding place. Help us to rejoice in your love for us and follow you all the days of your life with your our life with your help. Amen.